Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting program with myself, Muhammad Lambat. Alhamdulillah, on this Sunday afternoon, broadcasting live. I am out in Vietnam at the moment still, so I'm broadcasting live from Vietnam, alhamdulillah. I'm ready to leave Vietnam. In fact, I'm just waiting for confirmation so that I can leave by today. If everything is okay, inshallah, I'll begin getting out of Vietnam. The whole team that we had with us, alhamdulillah, we've had a lovely, lovely time in Vietnam, and they all have now left and they've gone back to their respective homes in South Africa. And alhamdulillah, they had a fantastic time. The weather was fantastic, and the time that we had was just so great, alhamdulillah. And we've just become one big family. And that's the way it is. When you travel with somebody, that's the way it is, where you become so close to somebody and you just, it's a unique experience, I would say. I never thought that this would happen. I never thought that we would become so close with everybody. But having a group with understanding people, it was just unreal. And we've become so close that now it's, when the team parted, when everybody separated from here, there were just tears upon tears upon tears from each one that separated. Because all did not fly out together. Some went to Hong Kong, some others went back home, some went to Dubai. So there were all different destinations that everybody went to. And having been together for that whole period of time, and then splitting and going away, believe me, it was snote and trana. It was tears upon tears. But you know what? That is muhabbat. And like they say, that when you travel with somebody, is when you learn somebody. Now, very important, that is a lesson which I have learned, that when you travel with somebody, what you assume people to be before you travel with them, when you meet them back home, and you feel that you are going to be traveling with somebody, then you think, by just talking to the person, you feel, oh, wow, now what? I just hope I don't have uphill with so-and-so person. And when you hear their voices, when they talk to you before coming on travel, and you feel that, oh, am I really going to be traveling with a person that's probably going to shout at me, or that's going to be very uncomfortable? But when you travel with the person, you just see naturally, Allah makes it such that the person's mood changes, they become so accepting of whatever happens, because they know they are on a holiday, they know they are touring, it's away from home, and you don't expect to get everything from home when you're traveling, so people sacrifice, and that is what is appreciated, alhamdulillah. And the group that we've had, 100%, that's the way it was. So shukr alhamdulillah, we've become another family. We've become one united family together. We formed a group, and now it's just chatting all the way. All those that are gone home, they are now chatting to us while the others are abroad. And it's so lovely like that, alhamdulillah. So shukr, everything went well. But more so, there are so many South Africans. I could not believe. In fact, I was at the airport night before last. And being at the airport, I met so many South Africans that were leaving out from the Saigon airport, from Ho Chi Minh City, going away from Ho Chi Minh City. I found so many South Africans. And I started chatting to some of them. And believe me, I felt so great, alhamdulillah, that some of them, they don't know me, so they were just generally talking. And when I asked them, how did you get to come to Vietnam, or what made you choose Vietnam? All they said was, over the years, we've been listening to Vietnam on Radio Islam. And the presenter of the travel show had been talking about Vietnam so much so that they've come here so often. And that just prompted us and just made us want to come to Vietnam. And believe me, my question to one of them was, how do you fare Vietnam? What do you count Vietnam to be? Or what did you expect Vietnam to be before you came? He said, we had a picture in our mind because we heard it on Radio Islam that it's a beautiful country. But I think that is the one girl said, that's an understatement when you say it's a beautiful country. Because it is such a beautiful, unreal country. There's so much to see. The sad part was, when lots of them that I had spoken to, when they came down south, when they traveled up north to Hanoi, when they came down south to Saigon, and more of the the southern part of Vietnam, and they went to the war museum, and went to the tunnels, that the war tunnels and so on. They say that was now, that was heartening, because that, you know, when I've been there also, we got back from there also the other day. And it is so sad that you'd cry. Believe me, you'd cry with the history of these people. And these people are so, they are so forgiving. It's just, it's unreal how they just overlook all what had happened. But the history of how they were tortured, they show you in the museums all the torturing cells, how these people's hands and legs were just broken. They were beaten up all the time. They were tied with chains and shackles for days on end and weeks and months on end in small little cages with barbed wire, things like that. And not long ago, not hundreds of years ago, we're talking of 30 years ago. That's what happened. Now all that rich history, so much so that you go out for touring and when you see that, you come back, it was tears in your eyes. And then you realize when you see these people are so humble, and then you say, such humble people with what they've been through. It's unreal. Now like that, you go for tours around the world, you find. The idea is when you go to different countries of the world, don't just go and just visit the place, just visit the cities and do your normal tours. Try and go in depth into museums. Sometimes we find, many a times also, when we were doing this tour, on the itinerary we had museums. Some people, they called me, asked me about the itinerary, and when I gave them the information and I told them we're going to be visiting a few museums and so on. By just saying a few museums, some of the people just refuse and say, no, we're not interested because there's museums and so on. We're not interested in museums. Believe me, I think it's the wrong choice that you make when you say you're not interested in museum. Because when you go to any museum in the world, especially the museum of when it comes to the independence of the country or when it comes to the serious part of the country, and you go to those museums, for example, Independence Museum, then you have the Independence Castles, then you have the War Museums, then you have the Liberation Museums, you have all those different types of museums. Go visit them. You should visit those places because that shows you and that brings up the history of the country. And by doing so, you learn so much of the country. And you'll find, not only in this part of the world, you look at Egypt, you look at the museums now, you look at the pyramids, typically those are museums. Because you get those grave sites there, you get, they talk about Tutankhamun, they talk about Nefertiti, they talk about all those personalities, I would say. When they talk about all that, Fir'aun, when they talk about all that, those are all in the museums as well as when it comes to the pyramids. What happened at the bottom of the pyramids, when they were built, how they were built, and the way they were designed, all that is I would say that is intelligence. And for you to say that I don't want to visit museums, I think you're being unfair. Because go to those countries and see what's happening. Go learn what's happening of that particular country. It does make a difference for you to do that. Especially when you go to all these different countries of the world, and when you see what's going on, it just makes you a different person. And you know, it makes you a different human being by learning the history of the country. It is so important. So my advice to you is whenever you're traveling, whenever you're going abroad, visit those places. Now, for example, we came to the tunnels, which is called the Kuchi Tunnels. Amazing. Okay, there's lots of walking to be done there. But you go into the tunnels and you sit and wonder how at that time these people had the intelligence, or we're talking of 30 years ago, digging up tunnels, making it such that the enemy wouldn't find them. That if the enemy had to come in, the way they dug those tunnels, the way they made those tunnels, the way they built those tunnels, that if they had to throw gas or they had to throw water in the tunnels, it wouldn't reach into the bottom of the tunnel. The tunnel has got three or four layers. That if there was any gas, it would come and it would be suspended in probably level one. And from there you go into level two, which the gas cannot go, but the human beings can go through. But narrow tunnels. Did you sit and wonder how did that ever happen? How did it happen? But you know, it amazes a human being, and it's all just so great, alhamdulillah. And the thing is, when you're doing your tours or when you're coming into a country, first of all, from home, plan yourself. Number one, we find many a times we do bookings of hotels. There's one great lesson I've learned, that when you do a booking of a hotel, do not work on the pictures that are posted on the websites as gospel, because believe me, they are deceiving. We've seen many hotels that are deceiving with the type of pictures that they post on the websites and when you physically see the hotels. So it is important that you try and make other arrangements. If you have to, try and contact the hotel directly, where they must send you live pictures if possible. What, and just see how those hotel rooms are, because they would obviously show you the best on the websites. And when you get to the hotel, you've got something else. Unfortunately, that's what happens. You get taken away with pictures, and that is the sad part. And you so-called get caught with it. But it's a reality. That is life. That's a marketing ploy that they use. That is number one. Another thing, very important, is when you're flying into the country, any country that requires visas, make sure you have your visas in order before you fly into the country. Now, what you should do before you come in is have your itinerary, number one. Have copies of your passports. Have your two photographs, your passport size photographs with you all the time. Carry that with you. And then, if you had your visas applied for in the country of origin from South Africa, for example, if you had your visas applied for and if you got your visas, make copies of those visas. Come with them. Alternatively, if you have visa on arrival, and if you have visa on arrival where you go to a counter and collect visas, make sure you have the confirmation of that particular document with you, so that when you get to the counter, you present the document and you collect your visas. That is of importance. So what you should do is have all those things in order. Have that with you, get to the counters, make sure, which this I have experienced now in the last month, where I know of people, in fact there's some family of ours from Benoni that wanted to travel abroad, came to the airport, the validity on the passport was 5 months, expiring in May 2018, flying now in December 2018. The validity is 5 months. They refused the person to fly on that particular passport because it's less than 6 months. So they didn't allow the person to fly. And then another one which I found, there was somebody else that had 2 pages in the passport. 2 clean pages in the passport. They didn't allow that person. They wanted a minimum of 3 clean pages. Now, that is of importance. So now what we should do is make sure, check your passports. Have your passports ready all the time. Make sure you have a minimum of 6 months validity on your passports. Because if you don't do that, you are sure not to fly. So you should definitely have your passports in order. So it is of utmost importance. We tend to overlook those things, but it is serious. Believe me, now that we've come along, we've come with groups and we've come with different people, talking to people at the airport also, I found that was something which we had to really, really clarify. So, first of all, as I mentioned, have all your documents in order before you leave. Make sure your itinerary is in order with you. Make sure your passports are in order. Make sure you have 2 photographs. You may not know when you may need them, because sometimes what happens is when we fly abroad, you may not need passport photos, but when you come to certain places, they require a passport photo. Now you're going to run around looking for passport photos. Make sure you have that in order. Copies of your passport, keep that with you. Copies of your visas, keep that with you. Get to the counter, present your passports, whatever it is that you required. You should flow smoothly through the immigration counters. That is of importance. And that is something which we've learned. Make sure, my advice, please do that. Please keep that. Another thing which we should be very, very careful of is when we're making our bookings, make sure you have your tickets in advance. When you're buying your tickets, when you're booking your tickets, the day you book your tickets, the day your monies are being transferred from your account into the travel agent's account, make sure you have the ticket in your hand. And the ticket must be a confirmed ticket. It must not be a quotation or anything like that. It must be a confirmed ticket, which you can verify. So what you do is immediately you go and you verify with the company concerned, if it's Emirates, if it's Qatar, if it's SAA, whoever it may be with. Confirm that your tickets are booked. And once they confirm that, yes, it's a confirmed booking, they've received payment for it, then you know you're in order. Because if you don't do that, you may just end up having a problem. So be very careful with that. Consider when you do that, that you should always make sure, make it a point that you have all these things in order. So keep that with you, keep your record of your particular documentation, and then you should be safe. You should be okay. So your prior to leaving, your tickets must be in order. Please be very wary, because there are scrupulous agents out there who takes people for rides, who are legit initially, and over time, out of greed, they take people for rides. So make sure you have a legit ticket that is confirmed in your hand. And then you can make sure that, okay, that is fine, you have all that, you can fly it. Let's not pay for it today and say, okay, I've got this in my hand and I'm okay with it. Make inquiries and make sure that you confirm that it's all in order. The ticket should state that this is a confirmed booking. It will state on the top that this is a confirmed booking, or your ticket has been confirmed. Once you got that, then you should be okay. So just make sure that it's paid for to the airlines, and you should inquire with the airline that yes, it's paid for or not. Okay, and then you're done with. So that is of utmost importance. It's just a few advices, because today is the last day of the year. People are gone for holiday already. So we're just generally talking of these things. We're not going to be talking of any country in particular or talking of a certain destination. It's at the moment, I find that it's just advices that we're going to offer, because there are lots of people that are going to be flying after tomorrow. All the businessmen are flying after tomorrow because they're finishing up, they finished up yesterday, so they're booking today, tomorrow, and they're flying out. So those that are still wanting to go or are booked to fly out, make sure you've got all these things in order, and then you can fly out. And then when you are out at your destination, make sure that if you do have your airport transfers, do not hesitate to ask for the transfers. Because what happens is, for example, we came to an airport here in Vietnam, and there was nobody that came to pick us up. We thought so. But when we came to the airport, which was down south, when we flew in down south, we came in, we had to walk across to the parking lot, and the person was waiting with our board at the parking lot with our group name on there, because they're not allowed to come into the building to collect people, to collect passengers. So every country has got different rules. We got to abide by the rules. We got to understand that they have their own rules, and we got to follow their rules. So what you do is, when you get to that particular airport, if you don't find anybody in front looking for you, if you do have hotel transfers with you included in your packages, whatever it may be, walk across, walk around, look for the person. They may be standing outside, and then you can just obviously inform them. They will ask you to come outside and take you wherever you have to go. And that's the way it is. Alternatively, if you go to any destination and if you do not have transfers that are booked for you, when you get to the airport, scout around. Don't just book any taxis or anything. Out of experience, an example that I will give you is when you come sometimes, for example, a few years back we came to Vietnam, when we came to the airport, we came to one taxi guy and he told us it will cost you 400,000 dongs to get to the hotel. And we know for a fact that it only cost you 126,000 or 130,000 dongs to get to the hotel. So he says 400,000 dongs will take you to the hotel. But luckily for us, we know. We said, but why 400,000? He said, no, it's the price. You have to pay this. And we find that people will jump in and go. Whereas you know that this is the price. If you take a metered taxi sometimes, it will be cheaper than taking a non-metered taxi. It happens. We tend to say, let's take this Uplung taxi. There's no Uplung taxi. You'd rather take a metered taxi and go. Take the metered taxi and go across and you get done. So rather do that. So that will be safer for you to do. And you take a metered taxi, you go to your hotel, you know you pay a fixed amount. Although it's expensive though, we know. But rather do that. Be safe and get to your hotel. The hotel may be a distance away from the airport. So that's the way it is. We will continue. I'm not going to go right up to the hour, but we will continue after the break. But first, I want to count 1, 2, 3, 4, the way they say it here. We will continue right after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting Program. where we talk travel, but today being the last day of the year, 31st of December 2017, and it so happens it falls on a Sunday where we have the last say for the month, or for the year, I would say, alhamdulillah. Fantastic. I'm broadcasting live from Saigon, or from Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. If you want to WhatsApp me, you may on my main number, 082-822-8287. 082-822-8287. You can WhatsApp me if you want to interact with me while I'm online here, while I'm on air. Alternatively, you need to ask me anything. You can contact me on this SMS, on this WhatsApp line. I will be available here, inshallah. And it's just been an amazing, amazing 2 weeks here for us. And it was just so great. The family that's gone from here, I would call them. The whole group has become family to us. They're all gone. And they coined the phrase before they left. In particular, Nadia Patel from Maritzburg. She coined it when she heard one of the Vietnamese, they don't say 1, 2, 3, 4. They say 1, 2, 3, 4. And it stuck in our mind that the team it was just all the time with us. 1, 2, 3, 4, everything. Just everything was 1, 2, 3, 4. And when we're counting our passengers also, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we're going on like that. Oh, what a time. What a time. I miss all of them, alhamdulillah. But inshallah, we will definitely meet up and we have become family and it will continue like that. I was at the airport before yesterday. Standing in line, there were some South Africans that were now going home from here. And we all in a line together. And generally, they were talking about the trip that they came for and they enjoyed it and whatever have we. I obviously didn't interfere in their discussions, but I was standing right next to them. So I'm not lending my ears, but they're talking loud. So I'm just sitting, and while waiting there, they were talking. And the sad part was, when the one mentioned that they went to McDonald's, and they went to buy chips at McDonald's, or whatever it may be. Now, it's not, I mentioned this time and time again, do not buy stuff from, or like McDonald's, for example. You cannot buy from there, because they use lard. You cannot do that. Or even if they may have bought the cheeseburgers from there, or whatever, fish burger, we cannot do that. Please don't. We tend to go to Pizza Hut here also, which they talk about Pizza Hut, they're going to go and buy a margarita pizza. You cannot do that. Make sure you get everything cleaned up. Fortunately for us, we had all that sorted out. They allowed us, the places we went, they allowed us to wash the utensils and prepare the foods. So we were sure about it, that everything was in order. But please, if you are going to any destination, especially destinations like Thailand, Cambodia, you're looking at Laos, you're looking at Vietnam, they don't know much about halal and haram. So be very, very wary and be very, very careful when it comes to just eating anyway. It's dangerous, I would say. Don't do that. And another thing is, when you get to your destination, if you're coming on your own solo and you're booking tours, check your tours out, see where you're going, with whom you're going, what tours you're booking for, because there are many, many different tours that you can get. Book your tours, but don't just book any tour. Take references that you're going for a certain tour. Take references from people that have been to that destination already, where they will tell you that go for a certain tour, go to a certain place to go and tour, because there are so many different tours that you can do. Sometimes we get carried away, and we tend to do some, I wouldn't say the wrong tour, but not the mainstream tour. And you'll do a tour and you'll say, you know what, what type of a tour is this? It's just a mess up. And then you'll have lots of these tours which are temples and so on. So, you know, it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult when it comes to choosing tours. So rather, select the correct tours when you're doing those things. You have so many different things that you can do. And alhamdulillah, when it comes to selecting, when it comes to going with a certain group also, associate with them. We find that many a times people, when they go to certain places and when they go for certain tours, they keep aloof, they keep to themselves. Don't do that. mix with people, associate with them. It makes such a great difference when you associate with people that you tend to learn where they come from, what they do, what's their lifestyle. Present yourself. Present your akhlaq with them. And when that happens, it makes such a difference that you become friends and family. You become, when you're on tour, you just start associating with them. They may be foreigners, they may be non-Muslim, but by them just associating with you, you then present yourself as a Muslim to them. It makes a great difference in life. So do that all the time. And, you know, it will be just life-changing. Now, alhamdulillah, when you go to any other destination, you'd find that many a times people will go into a bus and they'll do group bus bookings with strangers if you're going on your own also. It's fine. You can do that. You associate with them. You get onto boats and so on. Present yourself as a Muslim first. When it comes to Salat times, don't be afraid. I give you an example. Before we came, we were told that another group was told that when you come to Vietnam, you can't just make Salat anyway, which I mentioned before to you. Believe me, we went to the Kuchi tunnels. The main entrance of the Kuchi tunnels had a massive courtyard in front, and they had like a Christmas tree, but with a green carpet around it, that imitation grass or whatever it may be. They had that around. The team made wuzu, got onto the carpet in the midst of that whole area, stood and made Jamaat Salat. Nobody stopped them. There were security guards, there was people from around there. Nobody stopped them. A few people from the buses just came out just to see what was going on, you know, praying and so on. That in itself is Dawud. So alhamdulillah, do that. It makes a difference. So don't be afraid. And then another thing, when it comes to halal food, in Saigon there's quite a few halal places which you can visit. Go to the correct ones. There's lots of Malaysian places that you can go to. Visit those places for foods and so on. When it comes to purchasing, especially when you're in Saigon, when you're doing your buying in the market areas, make sure you bargain with them, because the price that they're going to give you, you'll pay first, and first off, you are going to be ripped off. So bargain with them, because they expect you to bargain with them. They put a high price, they want you to bargain with them, you bring them down and you take. It's not haram to do that, because that's the norm in this business. That's the norm. So you do that. So inshallah, if that's the way it is, you come and there's lots of things that you can purchase. Lots of things in different markets, different areas, but make sure that there are lots of fakes also available, which is normal here. They don't get confiscated or anything. It's sold as normal. It's known fakes. So there's no laws behind that. So just be very careful when you're buying certain things. And then there is a masjid which is next to the Sheraton. If you are in the area, if you are in Saigon, there is a masjid which is right next to the Sheraton Hotel. So if you ask anybody where's the Sheraton, the taxi drivers, you ask them as a Sheraton, they will take you right to the Sheraton, and the Sheraton and the masjid share the same wall, so you can make your salah there. There are Muslim restaurants in that vicinity which you can visit. And I think when it comes to going to these places, you should look for the masjid first and get all your halal restaurants, which you will definitely find around there. Now, when it comes to destinations of choice, many a times we find that we tend to choose a destination which we get feedback from when other people went and say, you know, it's a lovely destination, go to that place. When you're leaving for any destination, my advice is always plan or read up on the destination. And alhamdulillah, in our group we had people that read up on certain places, certain tour places and so on. It makes a difference, because you have an idea of what the place is all about. If you're going for a tour to a certain place, by the time you reach the place, you already have a clue of what the place is all about. You are not just listening to the tour guide and grasping the information there and then. You have a bit of knowledge on the place, so when you get there, and if there's any questions to be asked while they are there, because you're physically seeing the place, the tour place, you then can ask your questions. Never be afraid to ask questions. Always, when there's a tour guide, do not be afraid to ask questions and say what the others will think about me. Don't worry about what the others will think about you. It's what you want to ask, because you want to increase your knowledge while you're traveling, because as we know, traveling is a university on its own. So the importance of you traveling and grasping the information of all the different places, you do it. Do not be afraid of anybody else we need anybody that's going to send a side comment to say that you only ask questions all the time. Who cares? Do it. Ask the questions that you would like to ask. And just go on and enjoy yourself. You are in a different destination. You are at a place, a different country altogether, and you are there not just to go and chill out and relax. You are there to learn of that particular country, whichever country it may be. You are there to learn. Now, another thing which I've just got a WhatsApp that came through, they're asking me about the weather in Saigon while I'm in Saigon. They are coming here on the 3rd. Okay, alhamdulillah. They're coming through on the 3rd. They're going to be here until the 14th, mashallah. The weather here in Saigon at the moment, although it's mid-winter, the weather reached yesterday 32 degrees. It was extremely hot here. It is temperatures in the evenings, you get your temperatures between 20 and 25 degrees, which is very hot. During the day, 32, 33, very hot. Today also was extremely hot in Saigon. Up north, if you're looking at Hanoi, Hanoi's weather is a bit cooler. Especially in the evenings, it's a bit cooler. So, if you are in Hanoi, take a slight jacket, take a jacket that will keep you slightly warm. You don't have to take a heavy jacket, just a jacket that can keep you slightly warm in the evenings. During the day, it's fine. You move around with a t-shirt, it's fine, not a problem. But when you are in the evenings and you're going out, you will feel the chill a bit in the air. So just have that with you. Now, I've just got another WhatsApp that's come here. Can you tell me about the online visas? Yes, you can apply for online visas when you're coming to Vietnam. Make sure you have your passport photo with you when you're coming here, and you have your documentation that you have your approved visa, because when you apply for your visa, they're going to approve it online for you. Make sure you have a document that shows that you have an approved visa, that when you come here, you present the approved visa document to the authorities concerned, which when you come, it's just before the immigration counter, you have another counter where you go for your visas, you got to pay them in dollars. So when you get there, you have your photograph with you, they're going to ask you for it, you present your photograph, you present that document, and you should get your visa on arrival. So that is also available. The safer thing to do is to apply for your visa back home in South Africa. I find that is always the safest option. We found that this year also there had been some issues. But rather be safe than sorry. Have your visa applied for back home. Have it in your passport, stuck in your passport, and bring it through. Another thing which I found in South Africa is that if a person is traveling and do not have the passport with them present at the embassy when they issuing the visa, they would issue it to you in a form of an A5 page stamped with your photograph on there. So you've got to present your photograph also. And they will stamp it. They seal it with a plastic coating and they give that to you on its own, which you then present with your passport when you're going to the immigration counters. So that can also be done. So that answers the question to the weather as well as your visas. Now, you can follow us on Instagram, which we've now ended the tour, but on Instagram you'll get us on Globetrotting25. You can follow us on Instagram. There's lots of pictures which we've posted about the whole tour that we've had on Globetrotting25. That's the Instagram handle. You can follow us on there. And inshallah, you can join the holiday with us while we're in Vietnam, inshallah. There's not much more I can say, but alhamdulillah, it was a great, fantastic holiday. It was fantastic to hear from each one of you in the past year, whoever contacted me, whoever asked any questions. If I could answer, I answered. If I couldn't, I would tell you I couldn't. And I have had three crashes on my mail this year. So unfortunately, I lost quite a bit of mail. But those that repeated their mail to me, I responded. Those that I couldn't, and those that did not repeat their mail to me, please, I ask you for forgiveness. And inshallah, in future, it will not happen. I'll try my utmost best that it will not happen. We'll try and do some backups and so on, and we'll make sure that everything is in order. But more than that, if you have any other queries, if you'd like to find out anything, you can mail me on Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-E-D, Mohammed at globetrotting.co.za. That's Mohammed at globetrotting.co.za. I will respond to mail when I get back, which will be within the next week or two. And inshallah, we will respond to mail thereafter. And we'll take it on from there. But more than that, if there's any other questions that you'd like to ask, please, you can WhatsApp me on 082-822-8287. We've had a fantastic year this past year. We've had lots of responses. We've had great responses from lots of listeners during the year. besides this last few weeks that we've had where we had a time change, because obviously the time change, people are not familiar with it, or people have gone out during that time, whatever it may be. I've had umpteen calls for listeners wanting us to change the time slot. People have mailed me. In fact, while I was on tour, lots of the members in the tour group also asked me to please see if we can change it back to the morning slot. We will do a recommendation to management, inshallah. We'll try and see if we can change it, because I've experienced that lots of listeners prefer the morning slot, where the families are having breakfast together, and by them having breakfast, they obviously want, they're sitting together and listening to us. And that's when lots of people used to contact me via SMS, they used to contact me via phone after the program, and I had lots of responses thereafter. But on the later slot, we found that it was a bit less, when, or, well, some days there was none. But more than that, inshallah, we'll try and see if we can change it, and if it is so, we'll try and get back to our early slot, which will help you tremendously from what I gathered from the listeners, inshallah. So I think we'll just cut off with that. There's not much I could say. In fact, I haven't prepared anything much to say today, because I wasn't expecting to be talking of anything this evening. I just thought it would be just a brief chat with you. But alhamdulillah, we've already run through the hour. Inshallah, from myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week. I can say same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.